continued interest in your prayers. If you'd like to turn with me to our text tonight, you'll find it in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. If you're familiar with that portion of Scripture, you know that we have the lesson of the Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan. We all need to be a good Samaritan, don't we? We all need to be compassionate, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You'll find a lot of that in Ephesians 4:32, I believe it is. Are you familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan? It's fairly familiar, isn't it? We know what happened. Do you know why that was given? See, there's a good lesson in the parable of the Good Samaritan. There's a good lesson there, one that we need to lay to heart, one that we need to follow. Because at the end of that, Jesus told the man that prompted him to teach that lesson, "Go and do thou likewise." Well, if Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise," then that'd be something we need to pause and consider. Am I following that teaching? You know, when you're reading your scripture, there's some questions you ought to ask yourself. Lord, you know, like, who's speaking? Who's being spoken to? And another question that's good is, Lord, am I obeying? You know, how can I obey this passage? Not all passages are admonition or teaching, but there's something there that in most any passage you read that we can take heart. And, you know, even if it's speaking of something that we don't feel like that we need particularly at that moment, you might need it next week. Sometimes when the preacher is preaching and you might think, well, I don't know that I need that or not. Well, next week you might. I mean, if the preacher is praying that the Lord would give him a message, and if a man has a burden for the congregation that he's preaching to, then don't you think that God would impress upon his heart those things that would be good and needful for that congregation? Whether it's everybody there or whether there may be some particular ones who need it at that moment, and maybe some of them going to need it later. Or maybe there's some things that you've already experienced and you realize that you need to know that. So whatever the case might be, when we're reading a passage, just because we may not find ourselves in those particular circumstances at the moment, we need to be treasuring these things up so that we're better equipped no matter what we're facing in life. I'm going to read the parable first, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus didn't really call it a parable, and we don't know if it's hypothetical. It's very possible that this happened. Okay? Nevertheless, the teaching is good, and the teaching is the same. So in Luke chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading in verse 30. And I'm going to read what Jesus taught about this, and then we're going to go back and see how that developed. Because if we just go through it like, and I'm not saying there's any problem in the way it's presented, but if we notice this and then go back and see why, because you're already sort of familiar with this lesson, but I want to read it in case you haven't read it lately. So Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." You ever been half dead? The only thing I can think of about that is that if he hadn't gotten some help, he probably would have died. Half dead. And in that part of the world, like a lot of parts of the world, you know, people would travel in bands with a crowd. You know, you might catch a caravan going this way or whatever, and you join yourself to those and travel along with them. There was more safety that way. So evidently this man had a need to go, and he didn't have a lot of people with him, and so they overtook him and robbed him. There were many robbers that traveled the countryside in that day, and not unlike some of our situations today. All right? So the man's in terrible condition. If he doesn't get some help, it's possible he might die. All right? And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, oh, a priest. That's help, isn't it? When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, didn't get any help there. And likewise, a Levite. Well, a Levite. Now, he's talking to a Jew, a Pharisee, a lawyer, okay, among the Pharisees. So, he's part of this Jewish story here. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, that's sad, isn't it? And here's someone in great need. Here's someone that's a countryman, and people that you would expect to be acquainted with how we ought to live among ourselves and be a help to one another, they passed by on the other side and rendered no help whatsoever. You know, in a broad sense, let's just take that for a moment before we get any farther with this. And apply it to the church today. Are we passing by on the other side with so many of the needs around us? Or do we look? Now, we can think about this as an individual and what we can do individually. Or there might be something that the church could address. Whatever the case might be, there's the need for compassion. There's the need to be able to and willing to help others who are in need. And I realize we're a small band, but we've got a great God. And He doesn't require of us more than if it's something that would please Him, and if it's something He puts on our heart to do, He'll open up some doors for us. So that's the kind of situation we've got here, but Jesus uses this. Now all of this is teaching a lesson, and we're going to get back to what prompted this lesson in a little bit. But here's an individual that had a need. And people of his own nation, other Jews, came along and saw his need and passed right by. But a certain Samaritan, certain Samaritan. You know, there's some history there that we need to make sure we understand, and I suspect everybody here is well acquainted. The fact that the Samaritans, you know, in previous generations, when God's people had gone astray, the other nations came in, the Assyrians came in, and overtook the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And they captured them and they carried them away and resettled them in other areas and caused them to mingle with the people of those areas. And so instead of being Jews, they became half-breeds. And the Jews, because of their lineage and because of the promises and their inheritance and all the things that God had built into their nation and their law and so forth, then those people were looked down upon by the Jews. As a matter of fact, it was terrible. They looked upon them as like dogs. That's terrible, isn't it? But in this story, a priest came by and didn't give any help to this man. A Levite came by and didn't give any help to this man. You would expect those two to be examples of what ought to be done. But a Samaritan comes by who was looked down upon by the Jews. And yet he had compassion. He had a willingness in his heart to do what was needed for this man to help him. Listen, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. I like that expression. He came where he was. Do you know there was a time that God came to where you were? You didn't find him. He found you. All right? Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Came where he was, and when he saw him, did he pass by on the other side? No, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Not only did this man physically help and have compassion, but he took the man to a place where he would be more comfortable. He ministered to him all night, and the next day, when he had to continue on his journey, he made provisions for this man's continued care. Now, what a difference. All three of those could have done that. What a difference. Hasn't the Lord called us to be different from the world? If we look like the world, if we sound like the world, if we smell like the world, if we, all those things, if we just blend in with the world, you know, I'm not saying we have to be odd, but what I am saying is that we are to follow what the Lord teaches and not follow the world. So Jesus then asked the man, this lawyer, whose attitude prompted this lesson now. Jesus asked the man, which now of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Can you answer that question? Sure you can. Sure you can. One of these men was a neighbor. Now, I know we didn't get to what was said about the neighbor first, but we'll get back to that. One of these, Jesus said, was a neighbor. How is he a neighbor? He was on a trip. He was just passing through. How is he a neighbor? Pardon? Yeah. He was neighborly. Don't you love good neighbors? Boy, it's a frustration when you don't have a good neighbor, isn't it? We've had both. I got fantastic neighbors right now. I've had some times where we didn't have fantastic neighbors. There's a difference. But you know, Jesus can turn this around, and not so much to look at other people being a neighbor as much as the need for us to personally be a neighbor. Right? Which of these three was a neighbor? I appreciate good neighbors. I'm thankful for good neighbors. They're a blessing. They're a help. So the point Jesus is making in all of this is the need to be a neighbor. Be one. All right? Whether your other neighbors deserve it or not, be a good neighbor. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right? So this man, he said, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And this man, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Well, that tells us then, we're going to have compassion, that an element of that compassion is having mercy. Not having indignation, not so wrapped up in the world that we don't have time, but to be willing to take the time to have mercy. If you're going to be a good neighbor, you need to do that. So he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. All right? That was Jesus' instruction to this man that's in this conversation here that prompted a lesson on the Good Samaritan. Now let's back up a few verses and see how this developed and see why it was necessary. And I'm going to say it was necessary because Jesus taught the lesson. He never taught anything that wasn't necessary. And guess what? It was necessary then, and it's necessary tonight. We may have to change the names a little bit from priest and Levite and Samaritan. We may have to change the names a little bit, but the principles are alive and well. Every bit of this applies to us tonight. There was a need for that lesson then. There's a need for that lesson for us tonight. Because that's just the way the Word of God is. It's relevant. It's applicable to us today. It's not old-fashioned. It doesn't need to be changed so that it fits the times. I'm so thankful that God gave us a word that doesn't have to change. It was right to start with. Now, granted, the way we live and customs and practices and technology and all those kind of things have changed and developed and so forth, but the principles are the same. When we read in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun, if you want to think about, well, they didn't have cars, they didn't have jets, and they didn't have rockets. And no, they didn't have all that. But people were the same back then. Situations, personalities, interactions, it was the same back then. They just had different methods of doing things, but people haven't changed. Now, let's back up. Verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. What we're going to talk about for the rest of the time now is what led up to that lesson about the Good Samaritan. The lesson of the Good Samaritan is a good lesson in and of itself. And we need to know that, and we need to realize that at the end of that, Jesus told that man, now go and do thou likewise. And so don't miss that lesson. But let's notice why Jesus taught the lesson. All right? Back at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. All right? So right off the bat, we find this man's not really sincere about wanting the master to teach him a lesson. He's trying to catch Jesus in his word. It's not going to work. It didn't work here. It never did work. Okay? Because Jesus knows all. He's God in the flesh. They didn't know that. Had they known that, they would have realized it was futile. But they didn't know that. Obviously, they didn't know that. Stood up and tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, we're blessed to know tonight that that question, even though he wasn't sincere in asking of him a concrete answer, the question itself is flawed. What shall I do, he says, to inherit eternal life? This this does betray some of the position that the Pharisees did hold. John 5:39. Jesus said to the Jews, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. See, he said, what must I do? See, what he's betraying here is that, or what's being revealed here is that they believed that if they kept the law good enough, they'd have eternal life. So back in John, or over in John 5:39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Do they have eternal life in keeping the scriptures? That's what they thought. Jesus went on to say, but. In other words, ain't that way. But they are they which testify of me. There's eternal life in Jesus. Only in him. Only by his shed blood. Only by being in him and being the happy recipient of the grace of God in that Jesus died for our sins and rose again for our justification. All right, so this lawyer said, Master, what must I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? So, the question's flawed. Now, does Jesus get into that? Not really. Because there's something more here. All right? So, one text I want you to notice in order to remember why this question was flawed, I've already quoted John 5:39. But the Apostle Paul would also tell us later in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Now, you don't do anything for a gift, do you? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life is a gift by the grace of God. And if he's blessed you to know him, if he's blessed you to have a hope in Christ and hope of eternal life, and bless your hearts, you're the happy recipient of his grace. And bless your hearts, you need to be living your life out in a way that shows forth indisputable thanksgiving and gratitude for the mercy God had upon you in blessing you to know him. Eternal life is a gift. Ephesians 2:8, you know, for by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We know those scriptures, don't we? So his thinking, that the Jewish people and their leadership, they were thinking that in keeping the law, they could have eternal life. And so he asked this question, all right? So Jesus responded this way. He said unto him, what is written in the law? Well, at least this man says, you know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And we're going to see that at least he has some knowledge of the law. All right, so they're on the same page as far as recognizing that God is the lawgiver and what his word says is what we must do. You know, when you're talking about some issues about life and you bring up something, you know, I've had this a number of times, you know, you state your opinion and they look horrified at you. How in the world could you believe that? How in the world could you feel that way? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says so. And all of a sudden you realize, well, they don't care anything about the Bible. Their life is patterned after what feels good, what they think they ought to be able to do. And all of a sudden you realize, we're not singing out the same hymn. We're not on the same page. We don't have that common basis for reasoning. But this man, at least, was looking to the law, all right? So Jesus asked two questions now. What is written in the law, and how readest thou? And that second one is a big one. Yeah. How readest thou? See, you could have two people reading the same book and come up with some two different conclusions. So what is written in the law, that's important because that's the truth. And how readest thou? What do you think about what it says? How do you understand it? Do you have it rightly divided? Or are you imposing your own feelings and your own ideas into what it really says? The first question nails it. What is written in the law? The reason I'm hesitating on this because there's another passage over in Matthew 22 that's very similar to this. But Jesus asked this question, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So again, what the law says is the truth. How readest thou? Now that might vary depending on level of understanding. All right, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. That's what the law says. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 5. That's what it says. What we know as Deuteronomy 6 and 5, that's what it says. And he accurately quoted it. I'll give him that. He knew what it said. Okay? It's interesting. In Matthew 22, I just mentioned that a moment ago. I don't know if that's the same situation in Matthew 22 or not. If it is, you've got Jesus asking the man to quote that here in Luke 10. And then over in Matthew 22, the man's asking Jesus, which is the great commandment, and Jesus quoted it there. So I don't think that was the same situation, even though it covers much the same information. But I'll leave that as it is. I just tell you, that's the different setting. But what I'm getting to in the one in Matthew, well, let me read this. Then we'll go back to Matthew 22 in just a minute. He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And that verse continues. And thy neighbor as thyself. Well, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you read that whole chapter, it doesn't say anything about thy neighbor as thyself. So what he's doing here is he's recapping the Ten Commandments. The two tables of stone. On the first one was four commandments, and it dealt with how we're to worship God. The second table had six commandments, and it dealt with how we're to deal with one another. Just 10 commandments. 10 words, if you will. Because that's the commandment and the word, the concept. Okay, 10 commandments. And as we've said many times, how much better off would this world be if everybody just observed those 10 words? It would be tremendous, wouldn't it? Tremendous. And our government's cranking out reams of paper, probably thousands of reams of paper being printed every day. And it doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. So what's being recapped here? This man, what's in the law? You know, and how readest thou? And what he's giving him is a summation of the 10 commandments. Now, if you go over to Matthew 22, we have the same thing, a similar lesson, in that Jesus is quoting it there, and he says, you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and the second, he says, is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All right, so two passages, but they both embrace the idea of summarizing the whole of the Ten Commandments. What God gave them to be a guide for them. And like I said, if we would observe that more closely, you know, if the whole world did, what a wonderful place it would be. I mean, just those 10 principles that are given to us in that was given on those two tables of stone, my goodness, just have a tremendous impact upon our world. So not only Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, but the idea of the whole of the Ten Commandments. When he asked the question, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So he answered. And when he answered, he gave a summary of loving God and loving one another. And Jesus said in Matthew 22, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Didn't Paul also say in Romans that all the law is briefly comprehended in this? You know. So we summed it right down to love. Loving God, loving one another. Now, if we could get that right, we would do well. We would do well. Loving God and loving one another. So, what does loving one another look like? Remember the Good Samaritan? He saw a need. Religious folk had passed by. Religious leaders had passed by. But this Samaritan who was looked down upon by them, now get this, because this is an integral part of why Jesus taught the lesson. The religious leaders, who this lawyer was part of them, they looked down upon other people and they thought so highly of themselves. And so while they could quote the law, while they had the letter of the law, they failed miserably in the correct application of it. You know anybody like that today? Have we perhaps been guilty ourselves of that in our day? Well, not intentionally, but I suspect we have. So, the man knew the word of the law, and he gave it. When Jesus asked, what does the law say? He told him. And he gave, and I'll tell you, he gave, Jesus said, thou hast rightly said, okay? Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. What'd he say? This do, and thou shalt live. Well, that's all you got to do. Keep the law perfectly. That's all you got to do. We got a problem. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But we got a problem. We're born a sinner. We've all come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. We haven't kept the law. And we can't keep the law perfectly. That's why Jesus told them, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In other words, if they'd search the scriptures, they'd find some way that they've come short, if they're honestly examining themselves and honestly understanding what the scriptures are saying. Somewhere they'd find that they'd come short, and they're in need of a Savior. And that they testify of Jesus. He is that Savior. And all those glimpses in the Old Testament, all those sacrifices in the Old Testament, Genesis 22, when Abraham was told to take Isaac and offer him, and then instead of offering Isaac, a ram was caught in a thicket and was brought in as a substitute for Isaac. All of those things testify of Jesus. The necessity of a substitute. The necessity of one who is pure, holy, and harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. Testifies of our need of him. Pharisees didn't see that. Those religious leaders didn't see that. They looked down on others. They felt like they were holier than others. And they lacked compassion. They lacked compassion. Luke particularly, when you're reading through the book of Luke, over and over, use an expression of our day, he just pounds on that thought that they lacked compassion. And while it was by love that God sent his only begotten Son, that's why their lack of compassion was such a big deal. And if we lack compassion today, it's a big deal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, loving God and loving one another. We got to get that right if we're going to walk in ways that's pleasing to the Lord. If we're trying to do that, if we're trying our best to love one another as God would have us to love one another, then we'll get better at the other things, because the Holy Spirit will be leading us and teaching us and guiding us, because our desire is to get closer to the Lord. But this lawyer didn't see that. This lawyer didn't feel that way. Now, if this lawyer, and lawyers have a tendency not to shut up, that's terrible, but we joke about lawyers all the time. But this lawyer, if he'd have stopped right there, if he hadn't said another word, we might not have had this other lesson. I'm speculating. If he'd have stopped right there, when Jesus said, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. What he's saying is, if you desire to do those things, it's because God's grace is upon you. You've been quickened by the Spirit of God. You are in Christ. Christ has died for you. You'll be with him in glory. The only ones who will try to do that are God's people. So, if you do this, this do, and thou shalt live. Okay? If he'd have stopped right there, if he'd have just turned and walked away. I don't know if we'd have had the rest of this lesson. But he said one more thing. But he, willing to justify himself. That's interesting. Because we've already found he was tempting Jesus. All right, so he has an ulterior motive. And ulterior motives are usually not good. Otherwise, you'd be forthright with it. And his reasoning was flawed. Okay? He thought he could earn. What shall I do? Okay, to have eternal life. His reasoning was flawed. And yet he's still trying to justify himself. That's interesting. But it shows you the problem with the religious leadership in that day. He willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" When he summarized the Ten Commandments, the man spoke of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. A summary of the second table of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, "Thou hast answered right." He knew what the law said, but he wasn't applying it. He wasn't living it correctly. This should be sobering to all of us. You know, am I living it the way I should? See, we all come short somewhere. In something, maybe in every, you know, in everything we come short of perfection. But as we read the scriptures, we need to be asking, "Lord, help me to see what your word really says." Because what it says is the truth. How we read it can be different. Help me to see what it really means. Help me to live and apply it the way it would be pleasing unto you. This man was deceived. This man, and his motive was even to try to tempt Jesus to catch him in his words. And so that was bad to begin with. But even in his efforts, he reveals how he's deceived in this matter. All right? Now, the lack of compassion, we don't necessarily pick up until we get to what Jesus taught in the lesson. And if he taught that there was something that was wrong with their compassion, you can rest assured it applied to this man that he was teaching. The man needed to hear that lesson. So who, he willing to justify himself, said, "And who is my neighbor?" And from those words, it kind of sounds like that what he's saying is, okay, who's going to be worthy of my attention? Who's going to be worthy of my time? Who's going to be worthy that I should take my time and help them? You see the problem with that attitude? If we're truly loving God and loving one another, what does it matter? I know when you're around folks that don't love God, you have to be careful. All right? And Jesus even taught us that we're to be praying for our enemies. And I suspect there's a possibility that there's somebody in this room right now that hasn't prayed for their enemies today. Possibility. Just possible. And if we see that there could be a problem there, then maybe there's something else we've left off. So the lesson of the Good Samaritan is Jesus teaching this man that there's some problems with the way they're applying the law. There's a problem in how they're reading it. There's a problem in their understanding and application of what God intended from his word. And he gave them this parable. And there was a priest, and there was a Levite, and that lawyer knew exactly what he was talking about. Your Jewish leadership are ignoring the real needs around you, and they're lacking compassion. While others that you look down upon and think as perhaps even as dogs, they're the ones that's actually living what the law says. Could it be in our day? Could we ever be guilty of that? Oh my goodness. And so, after Jesus had taught the lesson of the Good Samaritan, what does he tell him? He closed the lesson with a question. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor? Now, it was important when he asked him, what does the law say? He told him, you to love God, to love your neighbor. So, Jesus gave a lesson here about loving your neighbor. And I don't, you know, we don't know what that man's personal experience was. It is possible that he had done some of the very same things that Jesus mentioned. He knows everything, doesn't he? He knows all about us. And quite often he would point out something about someone's personal life that they may not have wanted known, but he just dealt with it because that was the real issue. So who knows but what it's possible this man had been guilty of some of the things that was illustrated in the lesson. Now, we're speculating about that, but we're using other scripture to guide us in our thinking here, because Jesus did that at the well with the woman. You know, he revealed some things about her that she realized he was a prophet. Okay. So it's very possible in this lesson, Jesus knowing all things, that some of this could have been. All right, so he teaches a lesson about who really and truly is fulfilling that second part of the Ten Commandments. How is it that you could really and truly live in a way that is according to what is pleasing to God? And at the same time, he's showing one that they looked down upon, they had no compassion for, they had no interest in even dealing with them. You know, Jesus' disciples marveled that Jesus even spoke to the woman at the well. But if you remember that lesson, it said he must needs go through Samaria. There was a reason why he did that. And yes, they marveled that he even spoke to her, but yet she was one of his. What a blessing she received that day. You know, by the way, that's one of the very, very, very few people Jesus just openly told, I am the Messiah. And those apostles wouldn't even have talked to her. Sometimes we have to examine our own thinking. Sometimes we need to be willing to do it God's way instead of the popular way. Because God's way is always going to be the best. So even under the law, there were things that they should have been doing, and they weren't doing it like they should. And so at the end of this lesson, Jesus said, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the man had to admit. He had to admit that this Samaritan that they looked down upon, that they had no compassion for, was actually following the law. Yeah. He said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said to him, go, do thou likewise. There was a need. That the religious elites and the religious leaders were not applying this principle correctly. It needed to be pointed out. The man was trying to trick Jesus in his words. And even through all of that, Jesus pointed out the real problem, their lack of compassion, the way they looked at the law, the way they were reading it, you know, how they were taking it and applying it in the way they wanted to instead of the truth of it. And so when Jesus taught him the truth and the man had to admit what the truth was, he told him, go, do thou likewise. Isn't it amazing? When you study the scriptures and you find Jesus speaking pure, the man was speaking falsehood to him. He was just trying to tempt him and catch him in something so that he could accuse him. And Jesus continues showing, teaching, speaking truth. That's why we need to read the scriptures. Know what it says, and know how we're reading it. Are we getting it right? In our prayers every day, we need to be asking, Lord, show me. You know, didn't David pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what we need. But not only do we need to know what it says, we need to know how to live it and how to live it to his glory. So yes, the parable or the lesson of the Good Samaritan is good in and of itself, but the Lord had a powerful reason for teaching it and showing that man some of the errors in that day. And it's on record for us today because we still need it tonight. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay. Nothing? Good thought. Good thought. Okay. Someone have a number to close with?